Father, we pray this morning as you speak through your word, Lord, that those of us who are trusting in Christ would be challenged by what we hear. And Lord, those who are trusting in their works would be challenged by what they hear. And the result of our time for these few moments would be that Christ would be exalted in all of our hearts. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Imagine with me if a foreigner came to our country, flipped on the TV on the cable station, and began watching the news. And they came to you and they said, "Hey, I saw this information on the news, this political information that's going on the news, right? And it doesn't sound right, or it sounds kind of, you know, confusing." And you ask them, "Well, where did you see that?" And they said, "Oh, I saw it on MSNBC, right? That would immediately give you at least a perspective of what was on that channel, right? Maybe a little bit more liberal, a little bit more democratic leaning. Or what if they came and they said, "I saw it on Fox News," right? You would know maybe a little bit more conservative, a little bit more right leaning. There's a full disclosure is helpful. We recognize when we flip the stations that we can choose which of those we want to watch, right? Whatever kind of relates to us better where we're at. But we recognize that there are some, and I don't mean in a bad way, but there are some underlying principles that are driving every newspaper, every magazine, every TV news station, right? I mean, they just have those types of things. And in full disclosure, before we hit this text this morning, I want you to know this. And if you've been here for a long time, you know this about me, but maybe you're a guest. I believe with all of my heart that the Bible is God's word. It is inspired by Him, that every word we have in this text, God inspired men to write exactly what He wanted us to know, the revelation about Himself, about His promises, about what He's doing, and what He will do. I believe that the Bible is inerrant, that there's no errors in the text, and that it is infallible, that what it says will happen, will happen. The promises, the prophecies, all of those things will occur, right? That's the full disclosure. That's where I come from. So I tell you that because when I come to a text like James 2, I want you to know where some people would say, "Well, see, this is where the Bible contradicts itself. Because I believe that it's God's word, because I believe that He's the author of all of Scripture, I don't believe that it contradicts itself. I believe I have to work through it to try to understand, okay, how does this text line up with the rest of Scripture?" But I want you to know that before I come to the text believing this is God's word spoken for me, and my challenge is to rightly understand what He said. Make sense? Make sense? The struggle is, and we told you that at the beginning, that this book of James has caused some to be really confused. Many in society, if you ask them, "How are you saved?" they'll say, "Well, if I just do good things, God, I'm saved," right? My salvation is based on, have I done enough good things and I stand before God? He'll say, "Well, you were a pretty good person. You were better than this person, so I'm going to let you in," right? Well, why do you believe that? Well, James says it's not by faith but works that a person is saved, right? Well, is that what the Bible teaches? Is that what James teaches? Well, we're going to look at that this morning. Look over in your Bibles with me at James chapter 2. If you don't have a Bible, you can follow on the screen. James chapter 2. What we're going to do is we're going to work through the text, and then I'm going to share something that the text does not say. I'm going to try to show you what the text, or teach what the text I think does say, what it means, and then give an application for us. So look, beginning in verse 14. "What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Go in peace, be warm and filled,' without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, 'You have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works.' You believe that God is one. You do well. Even the demons believe and shudder. Do you want to be shown, you foolish person, that faith apart from works is useless? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up his son Isaac on the altar? You see, that faith was active along with his works, and faith was completed by his works. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. And he was called a friend of God. You see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. And in the same way, was not also Rahab, the prostitute, justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out by another way? For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead. What's that saying? It's a lot, isn't it? Well, let me try to draw this one point out from this text, and that is this. That text of James never says, nor any other place in the New Testament, do you find it saying that we're saved by our good works alone. Nowhere does it say works save you. The closest you see in this text is verse 24. Look there again. You see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. Well, some of you will say, well, see, that's the magic bullet. There it says, it's by works and not by faith alone. Aha, though, notice what it says, and not by faith alone. What he's saying there, what I think James is getting at is, the context of the passage, you can't just say you have faith. Your faith needs to be undergirded. It needs to be flowing with works that show or that demonstrate that your faith is genuine. That's going to be the premise that we're going to work through the rest of this text, right? And just to remind you, now some of you, I know you've been a believer for a long time. Maybe some of you are new to the faith, or maybe some of you are not sure, or maybe some of you think you're saved, but you're basing it on works. I want you to hear what the scripture says about salvation, about how we're made right with God, about how we're declared righteous. Look at these verses with me for a minute. First one, Galatians 2:16. We just worked through that, right? Yet we know that a person is not justified by works of the law, by doing things, but through faith in Jesus Christ. So we also have believed in Christ Jesus in order to be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law. Because by works of the law, no one will be justified. You hear what he's saying? Your good works alone, that your good works will not save you. It's by faith in Christ. Look at Acts chapter 16, verse 30. The jailer, looking at Paul after this earthquake, and they're still there, says, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And Paul looks at him and says, go out and do a lot of good things, and God will declare you righteous. That's not what it says, is it? Look what it says. Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you'll be saved. There's no other, I'm a little hot there. There's no other qualifiers. Believe and do works. Believe. The essence of salvation is faith in Christ. Look at Ephesians chapter 2. For by grace you have been saved, how? Through faith. Again, some of you are like, I know this. You need to make sure you understand this because most of the people that you encounter in community, they don't understand this. You've been saved through faith. This is not of your own doing. It is the gift of God. Verse 9, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. You see, if we were saved by works, then ultimately we could look at other people and say, you're just not good enough because you haven't done enough good. Make sense? I'm a much better person than you are. I'm saved because look at all the good things I've done. God receives me because I am awesome. And you're not awesome. That's why he hadn't received you, right? If it's based on works. But what he's saying is it's not works. It's by faith. Anybody can have faith in Christ. Anybody can believe in him and thus be saved, which is what the next passage says, John 1:12. To all who did receive him, who believed in his name, He gave the right to become children of God. What a glorious passage. Because in that passage, previously it's saying he came to his own didn't receive him. It's talking about the Jewish people at that point. But all who did receive him, Jew and Gentile alike, who believed in him, who had faith in him, he gave the right to become children of God. And in the longest passage, look over at Philippians 3, verse 8 and following. I know it's small. Just imagine you doing your eye test, right, at the driver's license. All right. Indeed, I had to get it all on one screen. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I've suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law. Do you hear what he's saying there? My righteousness, my right standing with God does not come by my works, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, may share in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may obtain the resurrection from the dead. I want to read all of those passages to you because I want you to know it is not by works, but by faith in Christ that we're saved. So what's James getting at then? What does he mean in what he's saying in this text? Well, I think this. The text does teach that a faith that does not cause us to act differently is not biblical faith. If what we're believing doesn't cause us to be different, to act different, to think different, to live differently, then it's probably not genuine faith in the Savior. And he gives some examples. Look what he says, verse 19. And this verse is loaded with sarcasm. You believe that God is one. You do well. Like, pat yourself on the back. You know who else believes that God is one? Demons. See, that's what he's saying. You believe that God is one, you do well. Even the demons believe, and they what? Shudder. Why? Because they know that God exists. They know that he will destroy them, right? But what does that do? They know there's a God. Many of them, they probably have seen him, and yet what? It doesn't cause them to act differently, be differently, do differently, right? Their faith is useless. They know there's a God. They know there's a creator, and yet they're still doomed for eternity. And then he gives the example of Abraham. Look what he says about him. Verse 21. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up his son Isaac on the altar? Now some of you, think back to what's going on in this story, right? You see that faith was active along with his works. And faith was completed by his works. It doesn't say that he was saved by what he did, but it's saying his faith was proven to be genuine faith when he obeyed God. Make sense? And think about what happened with Abraham. Abraham, I want you to leave the nation where you live, and I want you to go to the land I'm going to show you. Okay, God, I believe you. I trust you. And he did what? He got up and he went. Abraham, I want you to take your son, your only son, the thing that is most precious to you, and I want you to take him up and I want you to lay him down on an altar. And remember, as they're going up, Isaac says to him, Daddy, I see all the supplies. Where's the lamb? And Abraham says what? God will provide. You see, he's walking by faith, but he's obeying, and he's showing his faith is genuine by going. He didn't just have mental assent that God was, yeah, God's my Savior, God's good, he's going to do the right thing. He was climbing up the mountain with his son. He took wood, he took the knife. He puts his son on the altar. He lifts up his hand to sacrifice his child, and God intervenes. When he lifted up that hand, did he think that God was going to give an animal? Did he think that God was going to raise his son? I don't know. But either way, you see his faith in action. And God blesses him. It gives the example of Rahab. Remember the story of Rahab? The Israelites are coming into Jericho. They're going to attack. It's such a glorious story. We don't spend a lot of time in Joshua because it's it's Old Testament and it's wars and battles and taking this land and that land and all that stuff, but there's a lot of good, obviously it's God's word, but at the very beginning, Rahab, remember her words to the spies? We're afraid. Why were they afraid? Because they had heard what God did in Egypt. Remember, that's what God said about Pharaoh. I have raised you up for this very purpose, that I might display my power and my might, that the nations will know that I'm the Lord. And Rahab and Jericho, they heard about the Lord. Rahab's nervous. She's scared. She sees these people are coming for her. And so what happens? When those men come, she hides the Jewish spies. Her faith in God and in his power and his might, I'm going to hide them. And then her faith that what the spies said, that they're going to come for her, they're going to protect her and her family if she lets down this little scarlet thread out of her window, right? She believed, but she acted on her faith. She just as easily could have said, they're in here. But she didn't. She acted on her faith. Which is what he's getting at up here in verse 14. You say you have faith, but if you're not working, if you're not ministering to others, if somebody comes to you and says, I don't have food, and all you say is, well, go away, that's not living the biblical faith. The struggle is many Christians, or many people in America, they claim to be Christians because they say, I believe in God. But that faith that they have in God is not genuine biblical faith. It's not causing them to live different, be different, think different, act different. And they're the ones who I'm afraid that God's going to say, I never knew you. I never knew you. Which leads to this. This is what I want you to take home. Think about this. What I think James is trying to share in this passage, and we've abbreviated this morning, we're doing the Lord's Supper, but I want you to get this. The point of this text, we do not do works, good things, to earn salvation, to be accepted by God, to get some kind of right standing with Him. Our works, our stepping out in obedience proves that our faith in Christ is real. Does that make sense? You get that? Christ has accomplished everything that is necessary for my faith, for my salvation. He went to the cross. His life was perfect. He fulfilled all the demands of the law. He experienced God's judgment and His wrath for my sins. God takes my wrath, my sins, and He pours them on Jesus. He pours out His wrath on Him for the things that I did. He gives to me all of Christ's righteousness. I'm clothed, imputed with Jesus' righteousness. So when I stand before God, He looks at me, He sees the blood of Christ on me, and He says, you're forgiven, you have life, you're my child, right? It's not what I have done, it's what Christ has done. But the way that I show that I'm trusting in Christ is that I live differently, I think differently, I act differently. I believe that God is in control of my life. I believe that He's the sovereign God. I believe that He's my Lord. I believe that I'm called to submit to Him. I believe I'm called to walk by faith and not by sight. I believe to obey His words, right? All of those things Scripture calls us to do. Remember Jesus says in John 14, 15, if you love me, you'll do what? You'll keep my commandments. If you believe in me, you'll sit around in your room and you'll just have good thoughts, but you'll never tell anybody about me. You'll never act anything differently. You'll just believe. No. If we love Him, we'll act upon that. We'll do works upon Him. Some of you have seen this. Maybe I've even used it before. I tried to figure out a way that I could actually do it, but I didn't want anybody to get hurt. But you've seen trust falls, right? I've done it in my class at school. This might be something you can do. I don't know how it would work out in your English classes, but or math classes or whatever people teach. But I had a student, a PBA, stand on a desk one time because we were talking about what biblical faith was. So, of course, they're all nervous. But you know what a trust fall is? Five or six guys, they're standing there. I told the girl, you think we're going to catch you? Yeah, I think you're going to catch me. Okay, well, turn around, put your arms around your back and fall backwards. Well, she believed in her mind when she was looking at us that we were going to catch her, but that wasn't real faith. Was it? Real faith was when she turned around and she fell backwards. And there was for a moment when I was going to let her fall because she was a gator, but we caught her, right? But her faith was real at what point? When she actually dropped backwards. She was showing that she believed by stepping out in faith. She was working that faith, showing it. And that's it. Our works show that we believe in God. We believe in Christ. We believe that He's died for us, and so we're called to live for Him. Real biblical faith is what James is getting at throughout this book. And what I think he's getting at is this. If we love Jesus, if we believe in Him, but it doesn't cause us to live differently, it doesn't cause us to serve others, it doesn't cause us to love our neighbors, then we have to really ask, is it genuine faith? Or is it just demonic faith? Make sense in the context of this passage? Demonic faith. No, real biblical faith, genuine faith, understands my salvation is totally accomplished by Christ, what He did. And because He laid down His life for me, I'm going to lay down my life for others. I'm going to serve them. I love them. So what do we take away then from this? What's an application? Well, believing in Jesus Christ should cause you to act differently. It should. If you look over, and for time's sake, I'll just reference it to you, but in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17 through the rest of the chapter, he says that those of us in Christ, that we should put off certain things. Believing in Jesus should cause us to act differently. It should cause us, go to the next slide, should cause us to put off certain things. What does that mean? If I'm believing in Jesus, it means I can't continue to do the things I used to do before I believed in Jesus. I can't continue to do the old sins that I used to do. I can't have the same attitudes I used to have. I can't do the same practices I used to practice. But conversely, if I have genuine, biblical, real faith, it should cause me to put on some things. And that's what the text says, put off this, put on this. So put off falsehood and lying, put on speaking to people with grace and with mercy, right? If I'm in Christ and my faith is real, then you should see in me love. Why? Because the Father loved me. I should have grace towards other. Why? Because I've been shown grace. I should have mercy towards other because He's shown me mercy. I should have forgiveness towards other because He's shown me forgiveness. I should bear one another's burdens. Why? Because He bore my sin, right? So that's what James is getting at. No, we're not saved by doing a bunch of good things. We're saved by faith in Christ. But if all we say is, I believe, but there's no change in our life, as Paul says, we need to check and examine ourselves to see that we're genuinely in the faith. Because real faith, biblical faith, Christian faith, should bring about change. There's a lot of better singers in this service than the first service, so I won't sing it to you. I sang it to them. Remember that song? I'm just kidding. Remember that song? We sing it sometimes. Trust and for there's to be happy than to, you get what he's saying there? It's not biblical, it's a song, but it doesn't just trust being believe, but obey is the what? The work. Believe should lead to works, right? So let me ask you this morning as we close and we prepare to take the Lord's Supper, are you trusting and obeying? Are you believing and showing that by your work? Or do you just have some kind of mental assent towards God and you think that's enough? Or maybe conversely, are you trying to earn your salvation by doing good things, but you've never really trusted in Christ's completed work? Both of those are extremes, and both of those would cause you to not have real saving faith. This morning, what you're being called to through Scripture is to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and to demonstrate that your faith in Him is real by the way you treat others, by your works, by your love for Him and for your neighbor. So here in a moment, Don's going to lead us in a song of response. I don't want to challenge you just to pray and say, Lord, do I have genuine faith? Am I trusting in Christ alone? And do people see that in the way that I live? And if not, would you trust in Christ today? And maybe you need to ask the Lord, Lord, what do I need to start doing to show that my faith is real? Wherever you're at on that spectrum, would you listen to the Lord and you would respond by faith? Let's pray. Father, this morning I'm asking, Lord, that there would be none in this room who are confused about what salvation is. That they would know squarely salvation is by faith in Christ alone. But Lord, what you expect of those who believe you is to love you with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, which implies action, and to love our neighbors as ourselves, not just mentally, but physically. So Lord, may we be a church, may we be people that show that our faith is genuine by how we love and serve you and others. And Lord, if there are those here today who are believing that their works are what saved them, if they're under the burden, may they understand, O Lord, that they will never earn salvation because they can never fulfill all the demands of the law. And you said, if we break one of the laws, we're guilty of all of the laws. Lord, would they see, even today, how they can have their burdens released by trusting in Christ? And Lord, would you give them life through the power of your Holy Spirit? Lord, whatever we need to hear from you this day through your word and through what we've sung and through what we're about to do, would you speak, O shepherd, would you share, and would our hearts respond in faith? We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.